The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk, insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, in light of what we saw, I think we'll just spend the show debating what Dave and I got into towards the end there. I'm not crazy here, am I? 5 o'clock is the afternoon.
It is. I mean, this time of year it's different because it's dark at 4:30.
Well, it's not. But it's still the same time. So you clearly think 5 o'clock is the evening.
No. 6 o'clock is my heart out.
Thank you. I mean, that's what I said. I don't think it's crazy. We'll take your thoughts on that. But look, we do have to discuss what we saw. And I don't want to sound like a broken record. We've come on here after 4 losses, a couple of close wins, and said, this is going to be a process. It's going to take time. I think there were spots tonight where you saw the defense look a little better. But again, it's not a great Orlando Magic offensive team. We said the same thing against the Pistons on Wednesday, and I'll double down there. It's not a great offensive Pistons team. You thought maybe, and I said the same about that Pistons game, maybe this is one of those get-right games. It's a team you should beat on paper. You don't have Dame Lillard. You still have number 34, and we saw what he did tonight. But there was a lot of areas that you looked at and you said, okay, Bucks should be able to do something here. There was one big area you looked at, well, two really, that you looked at and said, well, this could be problematic. And that was the fact that the Magic were consistently very, very good on the glass. I think they were fifth best in offensive rebounding rate, third or fourth best in defensive rebounding rate, and in the top five in their overall rebounding percentage. The other was they get to the free throw line. And when you play an aggressive style defense, we talked about this coming into the season, the biggest change defensively, it wasn't just, hey, they're not only going to run the drop. We've seen zone. We've seen a lot more switching. I shouldn't say a lot more. We saw more switching the last couple of years that Mike Budenholzer was the coach. But we've seen zone. We've seen switching. The biggest change is this is going to be an aggressive defense that pressures ball handlers. And when you do that, you will create turnovers. You will also foul your opponent and put them to the line. And in that first half, those two things really told the story of the game. Bucks weren't shooting great. Neither were the Magic. Both of these teams missed their share of open looks. But you put the Magic on the free throw line quite a bit, and the Magic absolutely dominated you on the glass. That has been habitual for the Bucks throughout the course of this season, and that's the biggest thing that has to change. There's a lot of things that go into that. Obviously, when you change your scheme, Adrian Griffin has talked about this before, that you can't get stuck in the in-between. J.J. Redick talked about it on his podcast, not just rebounding, but defense overall. When it becomes mental, when you're thinking, wait a minute, am I supposed to be here? Am I supposed to be there? Who's got that guy? Is that mine? Do we switch here? Do we not? Once mental enters the picture, you're screwed. You're going to be a step behind. Thinking about it, you hesitate, and you're done. I think we've seen a fair amount of that this season. But I'm willing to guess, a lot of you probably feel like, and I don't have an answer for you other than there are some of those mental things, and when you change your scheme, you're out of position or you're in a different position, and then that mental aspect wanders in of, am I supposed to get down the floor? Am I supposed to crash the offensive boards? Should I be here? But this is a group that is full of very good rebounders. We've seen what Giannis has done. We know first 2 years Brook Lopez was in a Bucks uniform. We talked about his impact as a rebounder. You can't look at his rebounding numbers. You have to look at the team's rebounding success. Bobby Portis is a very good rebounder. Chris Middleton has been around the ball in the limited minutes we've seen him this season. And yet this team has still struggled immensely on the glass. And we're going to spend a lot of time looking at the defense and circling that. we've at least seen some subtle signs of growth. Whether or not it's against a bad offense and whether or not it's enough of a step forward, we've at least seen some of that. Offensively, we've yet to see that. And that's where it's really going to take time to figure out that timing with Giannis, with Dame. I know we didn't see Dame tonight or Thursday, but that's where it's going to take time. And transition just continues to be a problem for this team. The one area where you would think, okay, even as you're figuring things out, you've got the best transition offensive player in the game. And the Bucks have still been very, very bad in creating points in transition. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, a disappointing loss where, look, overall, the Bucks did not look very good today. We saw some signs. I've mentioned this before. We saw some steps forward from a couple of players specifically. And at this point, I think we do have to ask this question or evaluate, should these guys be playing more? Who those guys are, I think it's pretty clear. We'll get into it after this on Bucks Talk. I'll take some accountability for this one because before the game, and even after the Pacers game, the silver lining that I pointed to was, hey, I mean, you take out opening night, and Giannis has been pretty good at the free throw line. He's been 73, 74%, something like that. This is the up and down that we've, you know, it, for the last 3 years, you've just grown accustomed to. I'm still going to stand by if he becomes, obviously not just 7 or 8 games, but more consistently, a larger sample size of Giannis being a 70% free throw shooter, that's going to change things. But yeah, I'll pin this one on me for jinxing him prior to the game tonight. A couple of texts coming in. Should have never traded Drew Holiday. Stop sugarcoating things. They look horrible. They got rid of a great coach, a great player, and brought in the garbage they have now. Ain't going to win nothing. One more thing. About David Bakhtiari, I think this was. Middleton is the new Bakhtiari basketball. Play a game. Look, we know how they're handling the Chris Middleton situation and that they're going to be very, very cautious with Chris. And I've said all along, when you traded for Damian Lillard, it changed things in that it gave you more leeway to have this approach. You can be extra cautious with him and saying, look, where we need you is the playoffs. And yeah, you got to get there. We need Chris deep in the playoffs. And that's the other thing. You can't assume this team is going deep in the playoffs just because they have Giannis and Damian Lillard. They lost in the first round last year. So you cannot take anything as an assumption or for granted. But I understand the approach they're taking with Chris. You may question at times how you're utilizing him. We've basically seen a couple of four-minute stretches that he plays in each half. And that's the other thing that's worth pointing out. We keep talking about they played tonight without Dame. They played Thursday without Dame. You're kind of playing without Dame and Chris Middleton when Chris is basically sitting at 20 minutes. And I think in the minutes we've seen Chris, he's been very good. Now, we have not seen enough of a challenge defensively when you're just playing 20 minutes, and that's going to be the big thing because that was a problem last year in the playoffs. Not just Chris. We can point to Drew Holiday, who had his lunch eaten by Jimmy Butler. And in fairness to Drew, a lot of players did in the playoffs. But, you know, Chris was not the problem defensively in the postseason last year. It didn't look good, but part of that, I think, was the health. And that was part of the procedures he had in the offseason and taking things very, very slow with him. We've heard Adrian Griffin talk about, I wish I could have him for 30 or 40 minutes. It's not there yet. We still don't have a very clear answer on when that will be. There was that report that was initially floated out there by, I believe, Chris Haynes, that it was going to be about seven or eight games, and then he'd go back to his minutes that he typically plays. I believe this was the seventh game Chris Middleton played this season. Maybe. Maybe we'll see Monday when they play the Bulls, he's up to 25 or 30 minutes. But based on the way they've handled the first handful of games here, I would assume we've seen him hit that 20-minute threshold. Now the next step is, all right, here's 25 minutes. You'll do that for a handful of games, 30 minutes, and before you know it, he's up to 40. I get the frustration. We all want to see Chris Middleton play more because what stands out the most, 7 assists tonight. He has been a very, very good facilitator and playmaker in these games we've seen him this season. And when this team has more comfort, more familiarity, more chemistry, and Chris Middleton is your third option, and Chris Middleton is playing more than 20 minutes a game, he is really going to shine. But getting there is the frustrating part. I get that. But they're doing it for a reason. Now, as far as the rest of those comments, we all agree Bud was a great coach. I think, you know, I've certainly talked about that. We talked about it after the Pacers game or the Pistons game, one of these games recently. Bud was and is a terrific coach. And, you know, I think in the aftermath of that Miami Heat series, when you kind of knew what was going to happen because of that result, because of, at the time, all the ambiguity surrounding Giannis and where does this team go from here? It's an older team. They had championship expectations. They were the one seed. They lost in the first round. And the manner in which they lost, the game where you could have tied the series on the road, you have a massive fourth quarter lead and you melt down. In your elimination game on your home floor, same scenario. Forcing overtime the way that the Miami Heat did. And then the fact that you don't even get off a shot on your final possession of the game. Very few coaches are going to survive that. But I think in the aftermath of all that, a lot of people lost sight of the fact that Mike Budenholzer is a very good coach. And look, if this team still had Mike Budenholzer as the head coach and they made all the moves they did in the offseason, are they 5-4 right now? Who knows? Probably not, because you're playing, you're not making as many adjustments on the fly as this group did. I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for them, because I won't argue. They have not looked good, even in wins. But you think about the offseason Giannis had. He wasn't cleared to even run until, what, 2-3 weeks before the season began. Damian Lillard thought he was going to be in Miami in all likelihood. Didn't really get to do as much as he typically does because he was locked out of his own facility with the Portland Trailblazers. And had some personal stuff going on as well. That plays a role. Chris Middleton in the offseason he had and taking it slow with him. It's just a lot of change that this team is going through. So I'm going to continue to preach. Look, this is going to take time. And you know, as the season was starting, I said, it's not going to be 10 games, not going to be 15, maybe it's 20 or 30. But I kept going back to 2021 when it was basically half the season. It took you until the All-Star break before it felt like, now this team has that chemistry and they're starting to look like the group we hoped they would be. I don't want to jump to assumptions here, but these 9 games, I mean, it seems like it is definitely going to be that type of timeline for this group. You're not playing with big pieces in this game. You're playing totally different. And Griff even talked about this after the game, that look, we just have to keep harping on our team defense. We got to help each other. Gaps are very important when you're playing this style of play. When you pressure the ball, you got to have guys ready to pick up the gaps behind you, next to you, etc. And we just haven't done that. It's new for a lot of players, but this is about building and getting better every game. Defensively, again, would I say it's massive growth? No. But you've at least seen stretches and spurts where it does seem like, okay, they're getting better. not consistently, not long enough, but you can pinpoint 3 to 4 minute stretches of a game where you say defense looked pretty good there. Offensively is where you need to see a lot more of that. And maybe losing Terry Stotts before the season, everybody knew that was going to be a big part. But I think we're starting to see offensively, he was going to run your offense. It may take even more time than we imagined because of that. And as much as you'd like to say, well, you got Giannis, you got Dame, this is an NBA 2K. You still have to figure out tendencies. When we do the pick and roll, what side is Giannis going to be on? Or where does he like to receive the pass? What is he going to do on that secondary action? For Giannis, we've already seen through these first 9 games, guys are in different spots. You know, after that Pacers game, we talked about one of those late turnovers he had. I don't think he was asked about it, but it looked like, did Giannis think he had somebody in the corner behind Brooke and was going there? Did he just overshoot Brooke? There's been times with Malik Beasley on the perimeter where Giannis hasn't found him or Dame because you're used to players being in different spots. Remember the boxes that Mike Budenholzer would tape on the floor? You're not doing that anymore. You're not going to those spots on the floor because it's different. And those are the things when we say it's going to take time. Like, that's what's going to take time, is figuring out, where does Dame Lillard float to? When he's the ball handler in the pick and roll and he gives it up, he keeps moving around. So where do I need to look for him to get the ball back to him? Where is he rerouting to? Where are my shooters going to be when I'm catching the ball at the elbow? Because that's all different, and that's part of the process this team is going through. I understand the optics of the Celtics are clobbering teams. Jrue Holiday had another sequence tonight where he put, I believe it was Pascal Siakam, but I'd have to double-check who the defender was. He put a Raptors defender on skates, scored, and then ripped the ball away on the other end. A classic Jrue Holiday offense and defense possession. Celtics have looked great. 76ers have looked incredible, and their only loss this season was against the Bucks. And then you have the Bucks, who have just kind of struggled through these first 9 games. It's easy to jump to conclusions, but look, I know it's not a perfect comp. The last thing I'll say about the struggles is this. Celtics are what? 21 and 18 and 21, something like that. 25 and 25 in late January. Their defense was very good. Their offense was terrible. In Ime Udoka's first season as the head coach, only season as head coach of the Celtics 2 years ago. And then they started to figure it out. I'm not saying Adrian Griffin is Ime Udoka. I think on a personal level, in terms of their personality, they are very different. But it took time in Boston. It took time in Miami when the Heat were constructed. It takes time with these types of teams, and especially for a group that, by and large, has been the same for 5 years. It's going to add to the amount of time that it takes. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight, through talk or text on Bucks Talk. When we come back, we'll catch up with Dick. Also, the handful of players that I said, look, the more you see them, the more you think, all right, he or they just got to play more. I think it's pretty evident who those players are, but we'll get into it after this on Bucks Talk. 112-97, the final in Orlando. Bucks lose to the Magic. They're 5-4 on the season. Your all too early look at the standings has the Bucks in 6th place in the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Dick in Port Washington. What do you have to say after this one, Dick?
Well, I've been waiting for the call to come in to say that, oh, we made a mistake trading Holiday and we shouldn't have got rid of Coach Bud. Okay, I just got a couple of comments there and I got 2 other points I want to make. Yeah. Jrue probably sealed the championship for us by taking the ball away from Booker. But I think you could easily lay the blame for us going out in the first round last year because of his lack of defense on Butler and anybody else he was put on. And I think you could put some blame on Bud, as much as I love the guy and he got us a championship. He didn't take some time out. His decision-making was poor. I still go back to the 49ers football coach that said, you know, after so many years, the players don't listen to you anymore. They've heard it all. You needed some changes, okay? My second point is that we have a lot of new guys, a new coaching system, but, you know, we forget Chris wasn't part of the team pretty much last year. Yeah. We're trying to work him in. So we've got him. We've got Beasley. You got Lillard. We've got a lot of new guys and new philosophies. It's going to take time. Anybody that thinks you can make a judgment now versus 20 to 25 games in, and then that's no give and take, because let's see what happens in the spring, okay? My only concern from what I've seen so far, and I don't know if this is coaching, it might be, we start awfully slow.
Yeah.
We seem to be disjointed at times, and we don't like you said earlier. You know, we made passes to guys that weren't there because you think they're there. That just reinforces it's going to take time. But I do wonder why we start so slow. And I guess I got 4 points. The other point is, I'm liking what Griffin is doing, getting the younger guys in there, because I worry about these breakout passes like Butler killed us last year in the playoffs and some of the games this year, where they sandbag a guy in the back, he breaks for the hoop, and they got an easy point. But this is way too early to panic. And I think there's some concerns, but my main concern is we're not starting right.
They're the worst three-point shooting team in the first quarter all season. I think if they're not the worst, they're in the bottom five for overall field goal percentage and scoring in the first quarter. And I know it's been asked of Griff. Can you explain why your team continually digs these holes for themselves? And there's been no answer. I mean, you think back to the first losses of the season, first two. Those were blowouts where the Hawks just ran you off the floor immediately. Toronto was even worse. And you go to Indiana and that loss to the Pacers where, you know, these last two losses, it may not have been wire to wire, but very similar story where you start cold against the Pacers. They build up an 18-point lead. You come back and take the lead. But again, that's an area where I think we really saw the absence of Damian Lillard in closing out games. And then tonight was another one of those scenarios where you're just off to a slow start, whereas Thursday in Indy, we saw the Bucks eventually heat up. They didn't today. So you got to figure out why you're digging these holes and why the offense just doesn't seem to work in the first quarter. But I agree with you on the young guys, and that's, you know, the big takeaway, I think, from these first few games is, well, I think – we do need to find some more minutes for Andre Jackson, because we saw today, too, the offensive limitations. He can dunk. He can play in transition. He had a wide-open corner three that he missed. And look, a lot of guys missed shots today. But that seems to be the constant for Andre Jackson, and that was the knock on him coming out of college. But the energy that he brings, it's clearly infectious and is rubbed off in those minutes he's on the floor. And I don't think this is hyperbole 9 games into the season to say I've seen enough to feel like he's probably the best perimeter defender on this team already.
Yeah. I just thought another point that my son actually brought up to me from Colorado. You know, the other night, you know, we had this lead and Giannis kicked the ball away twice. And he pointed out to me, he says, that's exactly why we got Damian Lillard.
Yep.
Giannis will bow to give him the ball. He never did that for Drew, doesn't do it for Chris a lot of the times. I think Giannis, if Lillard would have played that night with the little lead we had, because he kicked the ball away twice and he stood up for it, he admitted it. Lillard has the ball in his hands. We're going to get free throws off of that, not kick stops, you know. It's going to take time, and it's hard when you're used to winning.
It's a great point. Thanks for the call, Dick. That, look, you knew what the baseline was and what the floor was when Bud was here. They're a very, very good team. And look, we saw the essentially the season from hell when they were defending their title, where you lose Brooke in, well, not even in game two. He was just gone starting with game two with that back ailment none of us knew about. And he was gone for two-thirds of the season. And you think about some of the lineups that the Bucks had to play that season, not just because of Brooke, but other injuries that they had. And yet they were still the third best record in the Eastern Conference. And had they chose to handle the regular season finale a little differently, they would have had the two seed with all of that. Last year, you get the one seed when you had equal amount of injuries. That Mike Budenholzer lifted the floor an incredible amount for this team. And that's all gone. That a lot of games, like today against Orlando, against Detroit on Wednesday, teams where you look at it on paper and say the Bucks are a better team than this team. They will win that game. You could reasonably expect to win those games. And now that's the unknown because it's a first-time head coach and it's a much different system with guys that are still learning on the fly. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. More after this and more on what we saw from Andre Jackson. And I'm going to throw A.J. Green in there as well. We saw Chris Livingston for a little bit of minutes in here, but more on Andre Jackson and A.J. Green when we return.
This is Bucks Talk.
All right, Bucks take one on the chin tonight in Orlando, losing to the Magic, 112-97. Monday is another one of those games that we just went through with previously, what Mike Budenholzer did, what he created here in Milwaukee, you would enter some of these games and say, well, the Bucks are going to win this game. You know, especially in his first year and that 2019-2020 season where they were on a pace to win more than 70 games. They were, what, I think it was like 40-5. A ridiculous record that they had. I'll look it up. When they played the Charlotte Hornets and beat them in that Paris-France game. This team was just running away with everything. That season especially was when you looked at it and you said, well, the Bucks are going to win today because I know what to expect from this team. And that's the part that's gone now, at least in this season or the first half of this season with a first-year head coach. Monday is one of those games that I think right now you look at the Chicago Bulls, you would have said, okay, the Bucks are going to win this game. 3-6. That's a group that, look, as much as we're frustrated over what we're seeing here, you still have Giannis and Dame Lillard. And eventually you're going to have Chris Middleton and his full minutes load. What the Chicago Bulls have a square peg that for years they have tried to stuff in a round hole with that group that they've assembled. And this may be the year where it ultimately culminates in we got to do something. But the Bucks could very well lose that game because this is still part of the learning process for this group. And we've heard a lot of the same responses from Griff after the games. I don't think it's just lip service. Like, this is a process that's going to take time. I said 40-5 when the Bucks played the Hornets. 40-6, so I almost nailed it. They were 40-6 when they beat the Hornets in Paris that year. Like, that was the year you knew Bucks play today, they're going to win. And that's not going to be the case this year, at least not until probably January, I think would be the best case scenario. That's enough of a sample size. By then, hopefully, you've got Chris Middleton not just at his normal minutes, but a decent sample of games with Chris at his normal minutes. Because I'm going to point it out again. You played the last two games without Damian Lillard, but look, you're almost playing without Chris Middleton as well. 19 minutes today, 20 minutes the last couple of games, or 21 minutes. You know, when Giannis leaves the floor and Chris is off the floor, if you had any nitpicks and criticisms over these last couple of games of coaching, it would be, well, can we maybe stagger this a little more? I get why you wouldn't want to put all that on Chris if it's let's take it slow. But can we stagger this a little bit more? That's the big thing. And I'm sure it's equally frustrating to look at what's going on in Boston. That's a much different situation, though. And I'm going to continue to point out, don't compare yourself to the Celtics. I use this all the time with a select few people when they would ask me advice. And I would always say, well, don't compare yourself to that person. Do a better job than that person. Do your best, and you'll stand out that way. But don't compare and don't look at, well, why does this person get to do this? Or why does this person get that? And the same applies to this whole, well, why are the Celtics viewed as the best team? Why are the Celtics going to be the title favorites before this season started? Who cares? Don't compare yourself to the Celtics. Don't compare yourself and your expectations to what people have placed on the Boston Celtics, because it's two entirely different scenarios and situations. Boston, I think we knew, was going to be very, very good. We assumed, and we still think, the Bucks are going to be a very good team. But it's night and day when you look at what Boston is dealing with. This is a coach that's in his second year. He's added and strengthened his coaching staff. They're running the same system, and they've added to a group of players that have that built-in chemistry under this coach. You added Kristaps Porzingis as a supplemental scorer. You added Drew Holiday. And look, so far what they've asked Drew Holiday to do is be a designated defender. When you look at his volume of shots and what he's done scoring the basketball, hasn't been anything major. He has yet to score 20 points so far this season. He's taking just 12 shots a game, just under 12 shots a game. So the options, the opportunities are not there quite as much because you have Jason Tatum, because you have Jaylen Brown, because you have Kristaps Porzingis. And in doing all that, I think you've maximized Drew Holiday. But it's a much different situation than what the Celtics are going through. They've added supplemental pieces. The Bucks added a superstar in Damian Lillard, who you're going to run your offense through. And oh, by the way, it's a new coach. So that's a big reason why, when people got up in arms over, well, why are we saying the Celtics are the favorites when we got Drew Holiday? Not only who cares, but on paper you can understand why. And it's probably frustrating to see the Celtics rolling right now and blowing out teams. Drew's looked great on both ends of the floor, especially defensively. He's had some nice offensive moments despite the limited scoring. Kristaps Porzingis overall has been good. But it's November. The Bucks have been the best team in the league in November. They've been the best team in the league in December. I should say 1 month into the season, 2 months into the season. You know, they didn't win the title any of those years. The year they won the title, Bucks weren't the best team in the league until, what, March that season? You had acquired P.J. Tucker. The All-Star break was in March that year. But the point is, it wasn't until the final 2 months of the season where it felt like, you know what? Maybe they are the best team. And even then, it was up for debate when you looked at the group that the Brooklyn Nets had. The Philadelphia 76ers that year had the best record in the conference. I mean, you could argue the Bucks were never the best team in the league during the course of the regular season that year. And that's, again, why this is not important. The important part is all these struggles to figure out how to get better from these. The defense has to improve. We know that. The rebounding has to improve, obviously. The offense has to improve. Famous last words, I'm going to assume the offense will improve and get better. You've got Damian Lillard and Giannis on your team. I'm going to guess your offense is not going to remain as stagnant and struggle as much as we've seen these first nine games, so long as those two guys are healthy because of how dynamic they are. But these first nine games, more than anything, have just kind of hammered home. This is going to take time. You know, right now, as we sit here nine games in, the Bucks have the 13th best offense in the league. Now, there's a log jam when you look at really 8th through 14. All those teams are separated by essentially 1 point per 100 possessions. But the Bucks are close to the middle of the pack offensively. That number is going to increase. I still think they're going to finish the season with a top five offense. defense is where we said, look, can you finish in the top half, somewhere around there? And right now, they're 25th. That number has to move out of the bottom 10. And that's what's going to be a process. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Stick around a little while longer here. When we come back, take a closer look at that Chicago Bulls team. Because, look, it's a game the Bucks should win, despite these struggles they're going through. I'm going to be very curious to see when the Bucks do submit their first injury report, what Jay Crowder's status is, obviously what Damian Lillard's status is. It didn't seem like anything was major there. We learned about, what, an hour and a half before tip, he wasn't going to play in all likelihood. But here for Dame, you've gotten him 5 days off. And I think part of it, too, is the schedule that's in front of the Bucks, 4 games this upcoming week. So we'll take a look at this Bulls opponent because you frankly should win this game, and I'm curious if we see more of the same, when does the panic start to set in? I'm not there yet. I don't think any of us can be full-scale panic until you get probably through Christmas, through December. If nothing has changed then you can at least start to wonder, well, what's taking so long here? But we'll take a look at this Bulls opponent and what is going to be coming to Milwaukee on Monday after this on Bucks Talk. So rebounding, let's talk about rebounding. In the 5 years that Mike Budenholzer was the head coach of this team, there was one thing, well, a couple of things, but one of the big things that was a constant. It was almost to the level of death, taxes, and this was the Bucks rebounding and how successful they were there. There was one season in those five under Mike Budenholzer where the Bucks did not finish in the top 10, or excuse me, in the top five in terms of their rebounding rate. One season out of five, they did not finish in the top five. That season, they finished sixth. They were routinely first, second, third in defensive rebounding. His first year, Bud's first year, they were 30th in offensive rebounding. That was really one of the big adjustments. When anybody tells you, well, Mike Budenholzer never made adjustments, that's not true. We saw more switching. The last 3 years, we saw a lot of differences. They switched more. They played different defense. Sure, they played the drop, but they cleaned up their help. You think about how they cleaned up the amount of threes that opponents were taking a season ago. They crashed the offensive glass. They never did that the first 2 years. They started to do it more the last 3 years. But his first year, they were 30th in offensive rebounding rate. And they were routinely in the top five in defensive rebounding rate and total rebounding rate. They were one of the best teams on the glass in basketball. That was a constant. They didn't foul. That was another constant. And that's why they were usually darlings of analytics, because when you look at the four factors, they would win a lot of those categories. This year, just to show you, and again, it's 9 games, it's not 82, but it's not a great start. Those stark differences. Bucks right now have an offensive rebounding rate of 22.5. That is 30th in the league. The midpoint is 29. That belongs to the Sacramento Kings. Now, there's been some pretty high offensive rebound rates so far this season. Jazz, Knicks, Hornets, they've all been dominant on the offensive glass. We saw that firsthand from the New York Knicks in what they did to the Bucks, 2 weeks ago? But last year, the Bucks had a 28% offensive rebounding rate. 28% was good enough for 14th in the league. 22.6 was last. That belonged to the Dallas Mavericks. Bucks had an overall rebounding rate of 52% last year. In other words, in layman's terms, they got 52% of the available rebounds in the game. They were beating their opponent to the glass. They had a defensive rebounding rate of just under 75. 75% of the available rebounds when the Bucks were on defense, they got. That's what stands out to me the most this season, is 30th in offensive rebounding, a 22.5 offensive rebounding rate. In other words, 22.5% of the time, 22 out of 100 possessions. When the Bucks are on offense, they're not getting a second chance. 78, I should say. They're not getting a second chance. Only 22 of those possessions are they getting a second chance. 71% on the defensive glass. You're essentially giving up a 30% offensive rebound rate to your opponent. That's the big issue that the Bucks have run into. We talked about it today, how much second chance points have killed them. The Bucks currently sit at 17th in defensive rebounding. And for overall rebounding, the number's even worse. They're 24th. 47% rebounding rate. They're down there with the Lakers, who are 4-5, the Spurs, who are 3-6, the Thunder, who are 5-4, the Bulls, who are 3-6, the Pelicans, who are 4-5, the Wizards, who are 2-6. That's the group the Bucks have surrounded themselves with statistically this year. Teams that are 3-5 or 2-6, or in the case of the Memphis Grizzlies, 1-8. That's the company you're in. And when you look at statistically how this team has performed, the numbers would tell you they should be even worse than they have been. You know, entering the Pacers game, the expected win-loss for the Bucks was 2-5 based on the way they've played. In other words, by the numbers, here's what we've seen, here's how you've performed. This tells us you should be 2-5. Now, even though they lost that Pacers game, that was an expected win. So entering play today, their expected win-loss was 3-5. It's going to drop to 3-6 because there's no way you can tell me, well, statistically, you were expected to win this game today. And that seems about right when we go through those numbers of second chance points, rebounding, the fouls, and the amount of time the Bucks have put their opponents at the line. Some of the three-point shooting numbers early in the season. All these numbers show you this team should not be very good. You have Damian Lillard and you have Giannis. Damian Lillard is a big reason why you won that Sixers game. I mean, to say a big reason is an underscore. The Sixers game, the Knicks game, you know, three times we've seen it from Damian Lillard already this season. And that, to Dick's point, is the reason why you go out and get him. You know your defense is going to take a massive hit with Drew Holiday. And I saw a decent amount of people say, well, you still have Giannis and Brooke Lopez. And look, there is credence to that. You should still be better than you've shown. And I think they can get there. It's part of the whole, it's going to take time. But if that's your approach, you lose sight of the fact that the way the defense was constructed the last 5 years was we want guys to take shots there. In other words, we need Drew Holiday to be the point of attack guy to navigate screens, which to me is the most glaring weakness right now we've seen from this team on the defensive end. They don't have that guy anymore. Marjon Beauchamp has taken some strides. Marjon Beauchamp has quick feet. Marjon Beauchamp seems great for this system that Adrian Griffin wants to run. So does Andre Jackson Jr. Maybe Chris Livingston as well, who we saw a little bit of today. But you don't have Drew Holiday, who was the best perimeter defender in the league, who is the best at fighting screens, at navigating screens, at staying with his man, and funneling that traffic into the paint, where you had one 7-footer waiting and another one in a help position. So, of course, this was going to take a step backward. But to me, if you want to take the optimist approach, this team hasn't been great. This is going to be a process. It's going to take some time. But, man, they figured out how to win some games they shouldn't. And, sure, Damian Lillard was a big part of that. You haven't had him the last two games. But that's what you needed in those postseason moments. They won the title in 2021 because of their defense and only because of their defense. I shouldn't say only. Chris Middleton was very, very good offensively throughout that playoff run. Giannis went to another level. You hit some timely shots. Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis had some big moments throughout that playoffs. But it was your defense that carried you to that title. We saw what happened the last 2 years in the playoffs. Chris Middleton's injury, a big part of it 2 years ago. But we saw what happened when you didn't have an offense to match that defense. And that's what Damian Lillard is going to add to this team. I know the shooting hasn't been great thus far. Damian Lillard's shooting is going to get better. Some of those threes are going to start to fall. And maybe these two games off is just what the doctor ordered in that regard. But it's the little things. And Adrian Griffin keeps talking about attention to detail. We got to go over the film work. The routine things, that's what we have to really emphasize. And it's the same as when Bud came here. They didn't do everything great immediately. And you can make the comparison, well, they did things much better as soon as Bud arrived, and that is true. But they moved into the modern era when Bud arrived. I think anybody that watched that series they had against the Celtics, anybody that watched those previous two seasons, basically, you knew, man, we got this guy Giannis that feels like he's developing to something here, but I don't always feel like we're playing the same sport as some of these other teams. Bud took you there. He raised your floor and continued to make you better in that way. The floor has been raised. Now it's all about, we got to add a second level to this house. We're trying to raise the ceiling, and that is what's going to take time. We will wrap up the show. We'll take a look at the Chicago Bulls coming to town on Monday after this on Bucks Talk. All right, the Bucks look to bounce back Monday when the Chicago Bulls come to town. And look, we talked about the defense struggling. We talked about there's been limited stretches where it's, you've seen something. You've seen something for the most part, number one, when this team has played zone more. And zone takes time. So, like, you wouldn't say they've looked great defensively, just, hey, they've looked better. Because it takes time, switching. You know, we remember going through that in 2021. Switching takes time. Now, the reason some coaches, I wouldn't say hate, but strongly dislike a switching style defense is because it can lend to your individual defenders kind of taking their foot off the gas and approaching things as though I have a safety net. We're going to switch anyway, so I don't have to get up as much here. Those are all things, the nuances of zone and switching, like you got to go through it a lot to get that comfort level with it. That's another reason why this is going to take time. But when they've looked good, albeit limited minutes and stretches and possessions, is when we've seen some of that zone and when we've seen the young guys. Andre Jackson Jr., Marjon Beauchamp tonight. We saw Chris Livingston. I don't think you saw enough from Chris Livingston tonight to say one way or another he looked good or he looked bad. But with Andre Jackson and Marjon, I think we have seen enough to say they've looked pretty good defensively. I've talked about Marjon needing to do a better job, and I think he will with more time. The biggest thing he needs to improve on is his ability to navigate screens. But those two guys, I think, it's no coincidence. The way that Adrian Griffin wants to play, you go out and you get an Andre Jackson Jr. because he fits that style. Marjon Beauchamp fits that style. Chris Livingston probably fits that style, right? These are also guys that played extensively in the preseason and over the summer in camp. We talked about what Giannis was not able to do until basically right up until the start of the season. Talked about Damian Lillard didn't arrive until essentially October. These are guys that have had those reps that played in games in the preseason and again were handpicked. In the case of Andre Jackson, of this is how we want to play. This guy does that. Perfect. That's why they've looked good. That's not all of why they've looked good, but that's a big part of why they've looked good. But I do think we've reached the point where you've seen enough from Andre Jackson to say, I'd like to see some more from him. And I'm curious. We saw the stretch today where it was Andre Jackson, it was Chris Livingston, it was Thanasis that were on the floor. And granted, they didn't cut into the lead enough, but they at least made it interesting where they got to, what, 11 was the closest the Bucks got back to. I'm going to be curious to see if that starts to change and if we see an uptick in the minutes there. Now, the double-edged sword is who do you take the minutes from? But as we said at the top of the show, I'm going to be very curious as well, not to overuse curious, to see what the status is of Jay Crowder, because we didn't get an update. I wouldn't expect when, 30 minutes after he left? But soft tissue and groin injuries, any of that, it's usually not a 1 or 2 game thing. I'm not saying Jay Crowder is going to be out for weeks, but just keep your eye on that because you may have to find some minutes to fill there, and that's where a guy like Andre Jackson has certainly earned that opportunity. So Monday, you get a chance to move forward here and continue to build on some of those small samples of, hey, this team looked a little better that we talked about earlier in the game. Tonight, the Bulls come to town on paper. This is another game that you would say this feels like a get-right game. 3 of the last 4 opponents the Bucks will have played now. Not terribly up-tempo, fast-paced teams. Not teams reliant on the three-point shot. Bulls are shooting 35% from 3. They play tomorrow, too, so it's going to be night 2 of a back-to-back for the Bulls. But it's another team takes a very low volume of 3s at just over 31 a game. These are all areas you would look to and say, this should be a game. So long as you got Giannis and Dame Lillard, maybe we'll see some more growth from the young guys. This should be a game you take care of business in. Monday night at 7 o'clock, it's the Bucks and the Chicago Bulls. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, we invite you to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk as we break down what is hopefully the end of a 2-game losing streak, what is hopefully another game or a game where we not only see the Bucks win, but we see some of that growth Adrian Griffin was referring to in this team starts to take some of those strides forward. Monday night after the game, we will be back with more Bucks Talk. My thanks to everybody for tuning in and to Matt Sossler for producing the show. We'll talk to you Monday night.